Good evening, church. Tonight's reading comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 44. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to throw to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew who he was, the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea.
Thanks for reading for tonight, Lucky. And if you've got a Bible there, do keep it open. We're going to be working through this next instalment of Luke's Gospel. I wonder if any of you can remember any primary school awards nights. Looking out, maybe some of you are thinking, can think back to some of your own primary school awards nights. Maybe some of you are thinking about your kids' primary school awards nights. If you can't remember any, that's probably not that surprising. Apologies if you're a primary school principal, but in my experience, they're not the most exciting of evenings. But there is one primary school awards night that I do remember. This particular night, they'd invited somebody, a graduate from the primary school back to speak. Often happens at primary school awards nights. And this particular guest speaker, I think it was some kind of a professor of science from a university. He was an older gentleman, and he obviously decided, I don't know if he didn't get many chances to speak, but this particular night, he decided that he was going to get stuck into a very controversial subject that was obviously a hobby horse of his. Now, I'm not going to tell you what the subject was because, you know, you'll spend the rest of the evening being frustrated about the whole thing. But this guy, he was really getting stuck into this topic. He was being quite insulting to people who disagreed with him. He was, insulting people from particular backgrounds who he thought might disagree with him. And you could just tell everyone started to get tense. Even the people that agreed with the guy were starting to go, this is not the time or the place for this kind of speech. The poor school principal was just sitting there wondering how her email inbox was going to explode the next day with all the complaints of people about this particular speech. Well, I was thinking about this today when I was reading through this account of Jesus in the synagogue of Nazareth, because Jesus is kind of like the graduate who's been invited back, the local boy who's made good as a bit of a preacher in the local area, and so everyone wants to hear what he's got to say as a popular prophet. But before, as he gets stuck into his speech, all of a sudden, he seems to go off script and he says a bunch of things that are highly inflammatory and gets himself into a lot of trouble. I think whoever invited Jesus back for the preaching that day was going to have some questions to answer. It turns out that he hasn't just come back to, you know, offer a few sweet platitudes to people to do their best, but he's actually come to call people to understand how revolutionary God's plans really are. And I think as we look at these hard-hitting comments from Jesus to the synagogue of Nazareth all those years ago, actually it's also going to be a challenge for us today, because we too need to hear the same kind of challenges that the people back then needed to hear to make sure that we understand God's mission in our world. Let's dive into the passage, and we're picking up the story today after Jesus has spent 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. We were looking at that last week, you might remember, if you were here. And that was a pretty dark and difficult scene, Jesus and Satan in the desert. But from that scene, Luke brings us back to a much more pleasant scene where Jesus is doing his preaching ministry in the region of Galilee, which is up in the northern part of Israel, Jesus' kind of local area that Jesus came from. And you can see it just looks like a real great start here. From the opposition of Satan, things seem to go much better in verse 14. Jesus returns from the wilderness to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. News about him spreads throughout the whole countryside. He's teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praises him. Jesus' ministry, it starts off like a Taylor Swift tour or something. Everyone is really excited to hear what he's got to say, and they're praising him. They're saying, this is great. But what kind of things is Jesus saying? Well, Luke takes us into a particular example of that in this synagogue in Jesus' hometown of Nazareth. Now, synagogue meetings, they were a lot like we have church today. In that time, there was the temple in Jerusalem, and that was very different from church. That was where you went if you needed to offer sacrifices and come into God's presence in a special way. That's what the temple was. But synagogues, there were synagogues in every town, and that was where you went to learn about God's word and to be encouraged with your fellow people of God there in whatever place it was. And so that's what they're doing here in the synagogue in Nazareth. And as a famous up-and-coming teacher, Jesus is invited in, and he's given this opportunity to read God's word and speak. And in verse 17, we read that he is handed this scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he unrolls it, and we're taking probably a little while because he goes almost right to the very end of Isaiah, to chapter 61, and he finds the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This prophecy that Jesus reads, originally it was written about 600 years before Jesus, 600 BC, and it promises God's Savior, the Messiah, who is going to be anointed by God's Spirit, and he is going to come and proclaim good news and freedom and this special time of God's favor. In the context of Isaiah, the Messiah is coming to bring good news to the people, to God's people in exile. God's people who had suffered defeat in battle, who'd been ripped away from their promised land and had been taken away as captives to live in the land of Babylon. These people were poor and oppressed physically, living in a distant country, but there was also a deep spiritual component to their situation. The whole reason that they were in exile was because they turned their backs on God, that they'd done evil, they'd worshipped idols. And so the exile was judgment for them, that they were spiritually poor and blind and imprisoned, as well as being physically poor and imprisoned. And so the people didn't just need freedom from the Babylonians, they needed this time of God's favor. A time of God's grace where he's going to say to them, I forgive you. I'm going to bring you back to be my children again. It's very clear if you go back and look at the original context of Isaiah chapter 61 that this is what the prophet was promising, that there was both a sense that physically they were going to be rescued from Babylon, but also very much a sense that spiritually they were going to be saved from sin and judgment that had caused the exile. And actually, the people that Jesus was speaking to in Nazareth, they probably would have seen themselves as similar to the people in exile. They weren't in Babylon any longer. They were in Nazareth, in Israel. But they were still feeling oppressed and impoverished. The Romans were now ruling over them just as much as the Babylonians had ruled over the people back in Isaiah's time. And they were still waiting for God to send this Messiah to bring the freedom and the healing that Isaiah had promised. So you can imagine the impact of what Jesus says after he's read these verses. In verse 20, he rolls up the scroll, gives it back to the attendant and sits down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue are fastened on him. Everyone's wondering, what is Jesus going to say now? What message, what sermon is he going to preach about these wonderful promises? Well, Jesus preaches a very short sermon, doesn't he? Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your presence. I think if you can imagine a press conference where someone announces that today we found a cure for cancer, or today we've developed nuclear fusion, a generator that can make clean energy like the sun, or some other incredible development. That is the impact of Jesus' announcement here. Today, God's Spirit-filled Messiah has arrived. Today, Jesus is beginning to bring God's freedom and favor to those who need it. It was a moment, a world-changing moment, 2,000 years ago. It's actually still a really important moment for us today. You might think, well, feel so far from that little synagogue meeting there in Nazareth, the other side of the world, so long ago. But spiritually speaking, all of us, naturally, we're just like the people of Jesus' time. We're just like the exiles before them. Naturally, we're spiritually poor because we turn our backs on God too. We're spiritually blind because naturally we can't see the truth of who God is. We're spiritual captives because naturally we are enslaved to all kinds of sinful behaviors and idols, things that we worship like money or power or popularity or pleasure. We can't escape them. We need God's favor. We need a time of God's grace and generosity just as much as they did back then. And the great news is, as Jesus says here, through him we receive this time of God's favor. Through Jesus we receive the riches of God's spiritual blessings. Through Jesus we can have our eyes opened by the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives us so that we can see what God is really like and know him. Through Jesus we can be set free from sin and judgment through the forgiveness that he brings. See, if you are a Christian, then you have received all the things that Isaiah promised, that Jesus brings. I hope you can feel some of the joy and the blessing of that. But what if you're someone who suffers from physical poverty or physical sickness or physical oppression, like the exiles, perhaps like those people in Jesus' day? I think there's a special bonus here for you, because Jesus did also come to put an end to physical poverty and sickness and oppression. Not in this world, but he has come to bring a new creation where there will be full physical deliverance, where there will be no more sickness, no more injustice, no more death. Full physical deliverance might only come in the new creation, but it is promised for all people. Jesus promises that it is coming. And truly, sometimes we do receive a taste of that kind of physical salvation in this life as well. Sometimes through knowing Jesus, we do experience a measure of healing or a measure of other blessings in this life. What about if you're not poor in this life? What if you're not physically poor or physically sick or physically facing injustice? Well, of course, you still need the spiritual blessings that Jesus brings. But maybe actually, if you're not physically facing these things, there might be a little bit of a kicker in Jesus' promises here. Because actually, as you read through the gospel, you actually find that if you're somebody who has a lot of wealth in this life, who has, is perhaps at the top of the pile and doesn't face any injustice in this life, who has great health, well, Jesus actually calls you to come and follow him, to receive the spiritual blessings, but to be ready to give up some of those physical blessings. Those who want to come and follow Jesus, if they have great wealth, they need to be ready to give it away. Those who perhaps have great freedom in this life need to be ready to give it away, to become a servant of all. And for some people, that's actually a great hurdle to coming to follow Jesus. But the promise is that it is worth it. It's fully worth the sacrifice of things in this life because of the spiritual and eternal blessings that Jesus brings. But let's get back to the people in synagogue in Nazareth. And first, those people are pretty excited by what Jesus says. They're not skeptical or offended that this guy has come and said, well, you know, I'm the Messiah. Luke tells us, all speak well of him and are amazed at his gracious words that come from his mouth. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. On the surface, it seems like people are pretty excited about Jesus being the Messiah. But surprisingly, Jesus doesn't like what he hears. Jesus can sense that the enthusiasm of these people from Nazareth is actually pretty shallow and pretty self-centered. And so he gives them this hard challenge. Verse 23, Jesus says to the people, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. And you will tell me, do here in your hometown what we have heard you did in Capernaum. Jesus can see that all this great excitement the people have is because they kind of think they own the Messiah. I mean, Jesus is their boy. He grew up just down the road. Surely he's going to give them what he gave those strangers down in Capernaum. In fact, surely he's going to do even more for them for his hometown. He's going to give them the best miracles, the best freedom, the best favor from God. People of Nazareth thinking, fantastic, we are going to be at the front of the queue when it comes to receiving God's favor because the Messiah is one of us. But that's not Jesus' mission at all. Jesus hasn't just come to bring salvation for his hometown buddies. He has come to proclaim good news for the poor, proclaim sight for the blind, to freedom for the prisoners. And Jesus reminds the people in the synagogue that day that it might look very different from what they expect. He points them back to two of the most famous Old Testament prophets, Elijah and Elisha, and he says, look who God blessed through those prophets. It wasn't their hometown buddies. It wasn't even their fellow Israelite citizens. Elijah, he was sent outside of Israel to Zarephath in the region of Sidon to bless this Gentile widow. And Elisha, well, the one leper that he healed was a Gentile general, Naaman the Syrian. I think it's hard for us to understand the shock of what Jesus is saying here. We're Gentiles like Naaman and the widow of Zarephath, and so of course we're not that surprised that Jesus would bless people like that. I mean, we think that he has blessed us. I'm trying to think, what is this like? And it's not exactly the same, but maybe think of some people that you think are totally opposed to God's plans in our world today. It's going to be different for different people. Maybe it's, you know, that atheist evolutionary scientist or atheist on YouTube who's always having a go at Christianity. Maybe it's some political thing, a queer activist or something who seems to be having a go at Christians. Maybe it's Islamic extremists and you feel like they're really opposing Christianity. You know, if Jesus arrived here at church and said, well, come on, guys, don't get too excited because actually I've come for those people that you feel really opposed, who are really opposed to God, I reckon a lot of us might feel a bit offended. And that's certainly how the people in the synagogue feel. And things, that they really escalate quickly, don't they? From one moment, everyone saying, this is amazing, the next moment we read, they're furious when they hear what Jesus says and they get up and drive him out of town and take him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walks through the crowd and goes on his way. It's a pretty shocking end to this hometown visit. When the people of Nazareth find out that Jesus isn't quite who they thought, well, they don't want him at all. They don't want a Messiah who doesn't fit into their preconceived ideas. I think this highlights an important challenge for us, especially if you've been a Christian for a while or been part of a church for a while. We need to beware of assuming that Jesus is always on our side, that he's always available to do what we want him to do. We need to beware of kind of treating Jesus like kind of a genie in a bottle that's there that we can just kind of call on at any moment, summon him to make our wishes come true. Jesus is not a genie. Jesus is a king. Jesus doesn't exist to just do what we want him to do. He actually calls us to live to do what he wants us to do, trusting in his love and his goodness and his mercy. And so we always need to keep listening to God's word with an attitude of humility and letting it challenge us and letting him change us. I wonder when the last time was that you read God's word or you read something that Jesus says and it made you change your mind. When was the last time you read something in the Bible, some teaching of Jesus, and you didn't think about all the other people, you know, whether it's the people at church or the people at work who really need to hear this, if only that they could hear what Jesus has to say to them. But you actually thought, no, I really need to hear that because this is something that I need to change. Somewhere that you needed to show more love and grace, some sin that you needed to repent of. Or perhaps when was the last time that you prayed not just for Jesus to do something for you, but you prayed that Jesus would change you to help you serve him more faithfully so that you could be part of his mission in the world. We don't want to end up, do we, like those people in Nazareth who had become so convinced of their own ideas about Jesus that the real Jesus arrived and was deeply offensive to them. Well, that brings us to the end of Jesus' encounter in the synagogue in Nazareth. And Jesus moves on from this encounter, and he goes on to do some signs and miracles that kind of show that his claims to be the Messiah are true. First of all, he goes down the road from Nazareth to the town of Capernaum, you can imagine the people at Nazareth were pretty jealous of this. He goes there and he drives out a demon from a demon-possessed man. He heals Simon's mother-in-law from a high fever, which doesn't sound like much to us, but was really deadly back in that time because there was no Panadol or anything like that. And then he heals many more people and drives out many more demons. As you can imagine, these things, exorcisms and healings, they create a fair stir in Capernaum. You can see all the demons are calling out that Jesus is the Son of God. All the people absolutely love what they're seeing. And it would have been easy, wouldn't it, for Jesus just to stay here, to become a massive celebrity, to make his home here, to stay enjoy the favor and the excitement of all that he was doing. But that is not Jesus' mission. Verse 42, we read that Jesus goes out to a solitary place after he's been doing the miracles. The people are looking for him, and when they come to where he was, they try to keep him from leaving them. But he says, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he keeps on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Jesus hasn't just come to bring good news to his hometown of Nazareth. He hasn't just come to bring good news to the town of Capernaum or even his local region of Galilee. Jesus has come to bring good news to all people. He's come to bring good news for anyone from anywhere who wants to come and trust and follow him. We're blessed by that today, aren't we? We're meeting here today as followers of Jesus in Cairns on the opposite side of the world to Capernaum, from a totally different background to those people. And we know that Jesus came to save us. We need to continue to remember that that is Jesus' mission, to bring good news to the whole world. He hasn't just come to bring good news to people who are like us. He hasn't just come to bring good news to the people we like or respect or feel comfortable around. Jesus has actually come to bring good news to the whole world. And we're called to continue to share in that mission. We can share in that mission as we support mission partners who share the gospel in different parts of the world by sending people from our church to other parts of the world. But of course, we can also share in that mission just in our own lives here in Cairns. We get to interact with all kinds of people all the time. And one of our tasks as Jesus' people is to invite them to come and find out about him. Next week, we've got our Discover Church Sunday, and one of the reasons that we run Discover Church Sundays is because we want to share the gospel with all of our city. I don't know, maybe there is somebody in your life, somebody that you know, somebody that you work with, and maybe you have kind of written them off. You thought, well, they'd never be interested in Jesus. I don't want to share with them for whatever reason. It's a reminder today that actually you should share with them, whoever it is, because Jesus has come to preach in all the towns of Galilee, but in fact, in all the towns of the whole world. He has come to bring good news to all people. Hope tonight they can see that Jesus doesn't necessarily fit into the boxes that we want to put him in. sometimes the things that he says are extremely challenging. Sometimes the things that he says will make us need to change. But he invites us to do that because he has brought wonderful news, great news, freedom for those who are enslaved, sight for those who are blind, and blessing for those who are poor. Those are the blessings that we have in the gospel. And so following Jesus is more than worth it, even though it can be challenging. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his mission and his determination to go on that mission, not to be just tied down in one place, not to be seduced by popularity, but rather to serve you, to bring the good news to all people. And we pray that we might share in that mission too, and share the good news with all of those that we come in contact with all of those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.